So clearly we have in this gospel passage the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, a precursor, a foretaste of the Holy Eucharist. And this is a very interesting passage. We could spend lots of time, and I encourage you today to go back to this passage, John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And just read it slowly, meditate on it, and allow this passage, this scene, this event in the life of Christ and the life of the apostles to really speak to you, especially in regards to the time that we're in. Jesus said this to test him because he knew what he was going to do. How often does the Lord maybe allow situations to arise in our lives simply as a test, to see how we will respond? How deep is our faith? How confident are we in the provision of God, that He will provide for all of our needs? As St. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, that God provides for all our needs. So often we encounter these situations where the Lord is testing us. And so perhaps we can look at the situation that we're in today in this world to see it as a test. Not that Jesus invented or created or he ordained this situation. But since we're in this situation, perhaps the Lord is testing our faith, allowing our faith to be tested. Do we believe that he will provide? Do we have a deep, abiding trust that when it seems like it's impossible to take care of the situation, when it seems like whatever we do have is too little to satisfy, will we surrender even the little that we have in trusting in God's providence? This could be a beautiful fruit of this time, that the hunger that we feel for the Holy Eucharist, the hunger that we feel to be once again united as the body of Christ, His church, around the altar and with each other. Perhaps this hunger can be deepened. Our trust and our faith and the providence of God can be strengthened. Because Philip and Andrew were thinking on natural terms. How many of the solutions that we have been confronted with and been offered and maybe even forced to accept have been given to us simply on natural terms, with no even seeming an inclination towards the supernatural? Perhaps we, in response to these, can bring the supernatural, the gift of the Spirit to this situation. If the responsorial psalm is true for us, if it's true for you, Psalm 27, "One thing I seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may gaze on His lovingness and contemplate His temple." Again, we've had this psalm a few times since we've been stuck in this quarantine and isolation. And is this true? Is this the one thing that I seek? To dwell in His house, to contemplate His temple, to see His face. I'm sure daily other temptations are coming into our lives that are attracting us, are distracting us from the one thing that should always be central in our lives. Is this the desire to see the face of Jesus? Is this true for us? I think we can say it was true for the apostles in the first reading, that they counted it joy-filled They were rejoicing that they were found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name of Jesus. Jesus was clearly their one thing. The times that we've had to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus, for being a Catholic, for being a Christian, do we rejoice or do we try to limit the dishonor and the suffering that we encounter? Are we motivated by human affirmation to be known and thought of well by the community, by our friends, to be well liked, well thought of? Is this the desire that we have? And are we willing to put Christ on the side if it means we have to suffer dishonor for his name? Perhaps this is another fruit of this time of waiting, this time of exile, is that we can seek the grace to remain faithful to the name of Jesus and to his church no matter what. That whatever the church teaches, I believe. Whatever the church asks of me, I will give. Because I know that this is the one thing that I truly need. In these days when I can't be close to the church, when I can't receive the Eucharist, my heart should be burning with desire for that one day that I can return. We pray for this grace. Even in the Acts of the Apostles of this first reading, the Sanhedrin, the leaders, were thinking on the natural terms about what to do. Again, how can we combat this? What supernatural gift, what supernatural grace, what supernatural faith can we bring to help bring about an end to this? I challenge you, I invite you all to begin this campaign of prayer and fasting. Jesus tells us elsewhere, after he came down from the mountain of the Transfiguration, and they encountered the boy who was possessed. Some things are only cast out through prayer and fasting. Friday is typically a day where Catholics will enter into a more penitential, more sacrificial spirit. I invite you all today in some way to pray and to fast for the ending of this pandemic, for the healing of everyone who's affected, for the strengthening of all the healthcare workers, for the peace of mind for the parents and the teachers. But in a real way, for our leaders, definitely in the government, but really within the church, to trust in the providence of God and to make prudent decisions based upon that, not out of fear, but out of faith. The Lord will supply for everything that we need. Philippians chapter 4. As we saw evidenced in the gospel today. As we see evidenced every day on this holy altar. That God provides the one thing that we need. Let's pray for the grace to continue to rid our lives of anything else that's competing or distracting. And to truly desire the one thing. To see his face, to dwell in his house. And until then, let us wait for the Lord with courage. Let's be stout-hearted. Let's wait for the Lord. Amen.